You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition, and I just wanted to give you a heads up. Tomorrow is Donald Trump's 72nd birthday, so I wish him in advance happy birthday, and he's going to get a birthday present from the Department of Justice Inspector General. He's going to be briefed on his report. It's a 400-page report on the handling, or more correctly, the mishandling of the FBI investigation into the many crimes of Hillary Clinton. So it's going to be a rather full news day tomorrow, and we'll probably get some insights. Now, the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, is going to testify to Congress, both the Senate and the House, so we'll learn even more then. But you need to understand, this Inspector General report is focused in on the handling, the FBI investigation of Hillary Clinton's email server and her emails that contain several dozen highly classified documents. And for those that don't handle classified information or never have, I have when I was in the Air Force, there are rather strict procedures and regulations, rules, if you will, that you have to follow. And one thing when I was in the Air Force, we didn't have the internet. This is many, many years ago. But today, you don't send classified information, either send or receive classified information over the internet. And that's what Hillary Clinton did and the people that work for her did. And that's a crime under Section 793F. So we're going to learn additional information, and this is the long-anticipated report. It was supposedly going to be released in March, and then they went on to say April, May, June. So I'm looking forward to it, and I've been waiting for it. But what really needs to happen is Attorney General Jeff Sessions needs to appoint a special counsel to investigate the FBI and the Department of Justice handling of this entire matter. And it's not just the Hillary Clinton email server and mishandling of classified information, the destruction of government records, and I would also add obstruction of justice. The problem for those that are new to it, that the standard situation is the FBI is the investigators. They gather the evidence. They look into, usually someone has said there might be a crime here. There's a referral. So they check it out, get evidence, and then they submit the evidence to the Department of Justice that they make the determination whether or not to prosecute, which usually involves the impaneling of grand jury and calling witnesses to grand jury. And then if the grand jury decides that the evidence is there, the charges are appropriate, then it indicts them, and then the person is arrested. That's the normal process. What happened here was that the FBI director, former FBI director James Comey, took it upon himself on July 5th, 2016, unprecedented, ladies and gentlemen. He had a press conference, about 14, 15 minutes, And anyone that watched that press conference would have come to the conclusion that he's going to recommend the Department of Justice prosecute Hillary Clinton. Well, he didn't do that. He attempted, and I think it truly failed. I don't know why he ever thought he could get away with it, but people think they can get away with crimes. He rewrote the statute by giving the distinct impression, and it's not an impression, he came out and said it, you needed to have intent if you're going to go forward and prosecute her under 793F. Well, no, you don't. 793F does not require showing intent. Remember, 793, the mishandling, and I'm talking 18 United States Code 793F, pertains to exactly what Hillary Clinton was doing, mishandling classified information. There are other sections of the law that do require intent, including under 793. The reason why he did that, he needed to get Hillary Clinton off the hook or out from under an FBI investigation. So tomorrow we're going to learn a lot more. For those that are not familiar with the inspector generals, every department in the federal government has an inspector general. They usually, what they do, especially when there's a change of leadership, a department changes leadership, for example, or an organization changes leadership, the inspector general will come in and they're looking for, did the organization follow their regulations, their procedures, the protocol? Now, occasionally, and in this case you do, did they break the law? And I think that's the real question here. Was there a conspiracy in the FBI Department of Justice to get Hillary Clinton off the hook? In other words, was the fix in? Because like I said, it was the Attorney General and the prosecutors in the Department of Justice that make that call, not the FBI director. Now, the reason the Attorney General had a problem, she was caught Bill Clinton was caught visiting her when her plane landed in an airport Bill Clinton was at. And the strong suspicion is, no one knows, and they're certainly not going to admit it, but many people suspect Bill Clinton was told that soon that the Department of Justice was going to announce that they've terminated or ended the investigation. They were not going to go forward with charges. By sheer accident, the press covering something else, they found this out. So it was embarrassing, very embarrassing to the Attorney General. You should not be talking to a person under investigation by the FBI. That gives the appearance of impropriety. And many people thought that, including I. Why is he doing? Why is she doing this? Why is she letting Bill Clinton come up and greet her? Now the story was, well, they're talking about golf and their grandchildren. That's nonsense. The Inspector General of the Justice Department, Department of Justice, will be releasing his report and giving the president a heads up briefing. And then next week we'll be testifying in front of both Senate and House committees that have jurisdiction over this. Then the Senate will be the Judiciary Committee. Now, I'm bringing this up because there has been a lot of difficulty of getting documents from the Department of Justice. They've been dragging their feet. There are various phrases to describe this. Slow walking it, stonewalling it, generally not being cooperative. And what I'm talking about and who is in charge of this is the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. Departments have, the head of the department is the secretary, or in the Department of Justice, the Attorney General. That's Jeff Sessions. He recused himself upon recommendation of the Department of Justice, have an organization recommended that he recuse himself. I'm of the opinion he didn't have to, and I'm not the only one that thinks that. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. He did recuse himself from any investigation into what happened in the Trump campaign, given that then-Senator Sessions was a leading and early supporter of Donald Trump, and he was being in the process of hearings on his confirmation, made that promise. Now, that has not pleased President Trump. He was very much upset about that. And what President Trump is saying, now, I don't necessarily believe him either, that if he had known that Jeff Sessions was going to recuse himself, he never would have appointed him attorney general. He wants to be able to call the attorney general, and the attorney general more or less follow his orders. Now, remember, the president is in charge of the executive branch, and he can fire anyone for no reason at any time. Cabinet officers and politically appointed officers serve at the pleasure of the president. He could just on a whim fire you. And that needs to be emphasized. Is that the smart thing to do? No, you should have a good reason to fire people, because politically it's not advantageous to do that. You don't want to be perceived as arbitrary and capricious. So President Trump was unhappy when now Attorney General, he did get confirmed, Sessions recused himself. And a career professional attorney working for the Justice Department as a prosecutor in the past, both under Republicans and Democrats, Rod Rosenstein, was appointed by Trump and approved, confirmed. And he's the number two guy at the Justice Department. He more or less runs the day-to-day operations. In most organizations, the number one person, the secretary, or in this case, the attorney general, they're Mr. Outside. They testify to Congress. They make the speeches. The number two person, the deputy, more or less manages or runs the organization. Now, he's definitely keeping the attorney general informed, and that's more or less how it's done. Now, each political appointee has their style of management, and to the extent that the secretary or attorney general, in this case, some are letting the deputy do it. Others are more hands-on and get involved in the details. The situation is that Congress has a constitutional responsibility for oversight of the executive branch. And it was under the Constitution that, for example, the Department of Justice was created. That needs to be said. There's no Department of Justice in the Constitution. In other words, Department of Justice and the other departments are creatures of Congress. Congress, in its infinite wisdom, created these departments. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know I believe that at least 8, if not 10, federal departments should be closed permanently. However, one that should not be closed permanently is definitely the Department of Justice. I think you need a Department of Treasury to collect money and pay the bills. You need a Department of Justice to administer the court system. You need, obviously, a Department of Defense that used to be called a Department of War, a Department of Navy, but you need a Department of Defense and a Secretary of State or Department of State. Those are the essential ones. You can add a couple more, but I'm the firm believer that many of the functions that at least 8 of the federal departments perform, you don't need the departments. Private sector is perfectly capable of providing the services, the goods that these departments sort of oversee. Remember, they're all bureaucrats. They're all civil servants. And you need to be reminded of that. Now, the reason I'm talking about the deputy attorney general, there was a news story yesterday, broken on Fox News, that the deputy threatened, this is in a meeting several months ago, 5 months ago in January, at least one, if not two, congressional staffers. Fortunately for, I think, all concerned, there were other people in the meeting. Now, I don't think that should, the point I'm trying to emphasize, given who made the threat, and the reason why I made the threat is Congress has been asking and asking and asking for months for documents that they're entitled to get. And this so-called civil servant's been dragging his feet. What he's been protecting is the Department of Justice, and really himself, from embarrassing, and a very embarrassing situation. That's why I've been calling for the special counsel now, and I'm not alone. There's senators, there are congressmen, congresswomen, or representatives are calling for an investigation because of what Comey did and what people in the Department of Justice did. The fix was in, and now we're finally getting an IG report, but 2 years too late, almost going on 2 years. Better late than never, because, ladies and gentlemen, if Hillary Clinton had won, this IG report would never see the light of day. And remember, what got this investigation started? And this, you need to be reminded of this. The House, a special committee on Benghazi was established. Trey Gowdy was the chairman. He He was made chairman by the House Speaker, then John Boehner, to look into the circumstances leading up to the Benghazi situation where four Americans lost their lives. In doing that investigation, they discovered that Hillary Clinton was not using a .state.gov email account or server. And then they did what? They subpoenaed Hillary Clinton to produce all the emails that she had on the server, and also to preserve those emails, preserve the evidence. What did Hillary Clinton do? She destroyed over 30,000 emails, had her attorneys destroy them. And that was information under subpoena by Congress, a legitimate role of Congress, because they wanted to get to the bottom of what surrounded the decision of the Secretary of State, the State Department, and the various actions that were taken, especially in the security area, to protect Ambassador Stevens and the other people that were there. So Congress has a legitimate constitutional responsibility of oversight. And the only reason we even have this IG report is someone was alerted to the fact. It's not like if you were handling a lot of the emails and suddenly you notice the Secretary of State emails to and from her do not have state.gov. You want to know what's going on, because the usual situation, like 99.999% of the time, if you're in government and you're transacting government business, you're using a secured email account on a secure government server. That doesn't mean they can't be breaking into, because they have. What you don't use is your setup or use a server in your home. In this case, in outside of New York City, her home outside of New York City. Initially, my understanding is former President Clinton had an email server, and they put her email accounts, and she had several, on this server. It was legitimate for the House to do this. She was obstructing justice. She wasn't forthcoming in providing this. And then James Comey, after conducting a long investigation, remember, this wasn't in 2016, this was in 2015, I think in the spring, around March, early March. So the FBI got a criminal referral from this committee and investigated, and that's why she was under FBI investigation. Why is this important? You don't want a presidential candidate to be under investigation by the FBI. Now, I've gone over this several times. What's aggravating, we now have a Republican administration with a Republican attorney general. Both the attorney general and the deputy attorney general were appointed by President Trump, and the department has not been. It's like pulling teeth. They've been dragging and dragging their feet. Now, I've been saying, and I'm not alone in this, at any time President Trump can declassify a lot of this information. Not all of it. Some of it probably does pertain to national security and has sources and methods. In other words, who are the sources of this information and how was the information gathered? You don't want to disclose that. Most of this information, I think, falls in the category of embarrassing. Some of it probably criminal behavior on the part of FBI agents and employees of the Department of Justice, whether they be prosecutors, attorneys, or whatever. So it's been a long, long process to just try to get to the bottom of it. And what I mean by the bottom of it, and there's a number of parts to it, the key part is the handling of the investigation and non-prosecution of Hillary Clinton pertaining to the email server and her emails. The second part, and this is where partisan politics enters in, is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court applications. And this is where President Obama and his administration spied on then-candidate Trump, and after he won, President-elect Trump. And to do that, the FBI and the Department of Justice, including this deputy attorney general, signed off on an application that didn't disclose that the basis for getting a warrant to surveil, in this case, Carter Page. The information was largely based on paid-for opposition research of the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party. Rather material information that I and others would say, if it were disclosed, they never would have gotten the warrant. That's why they omitted it. And that's bordering on, or is a crime. And this deputy attorney general did sign off on the final third renewal of the warrant. Now, why does the attorney general have to sign off on this? Congress passed a law. They were concerned. They didn't want the FBI and others in the intelligence community spying on the American people. So they required the attorney general to sign off, and if he's not available or has recused himself, the deputy attorney general. The deputy, now, to be fair, the initial application was signed by either the attorney general or deputy attorney general in the Obama administration. In other words, either Loretta Lynch or Sally Yates. And remember, we're talking about towards the end. These are good for 90 days. And the initial one was signed in late October of 2016. And they were three renewals of that. So for about a year, what was happening? The FBI, and most likely with the assistance of the National Security Agency, was spying on Donald Trump and the people in his campaign. Now, what's the problem with that? You're not supposed to use government assets and people to spy on your political opposition. And that's exactly what the Obama administration was doing. And ladies and gentlemen, you don't do this unless the top guy, the President of the United States, wants this. In other words, I don't care if you're FBI director or attorney general. If you're going forward and doing this, they know, and the president knows, because he has a White House counsel, that this is a very gray area. And if you're caught, you face criminal prosecution. So you have a number of people in the Obama administration, starting with the president, the attorney general, the FBI director. In the White House, you have Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, and others all involved in this, following orders. I'm sure several of them, that will be their defense. I was just following the orders of the president of the United States. So you have a lot of people being very, very nervous. Many have already left the government. And this is a key point. When the inspector general was doing this investigation, many of the Obama administration are gone. He can't question them. That's why you need a special counsel. We're talking several dozen people here. Most of which have left the government. Either they've resigned or retired or no longer working in this case, either the FBI or the Department of Justice. That's why you need a special counsel to investigate the goings-on of the Department of Justice and the FBI. This does not reflect well on the FBI or the Department of Justice. And that's why there's a lot of reluctance to appoint a special counsel. I'm not in favor, as a general rule, I'm not in favor of using special counsel. You have professional, career prosecutors in the Department of Justice. Use them. That's the argument. Use them. And I'm for that because special counsels, as we've seen with Mueller, can get out of control and are not subject to control. Now, supposedly, Mueller is being supervised by, again, this deputy attorney general. But this poses another problem. What we need, what President Trump and his attorneys have requested, is they want a copy, the letter authorizing the special counsel. Why? Under Department of Justice procedures, guidelines, you're supposed to specify a crime to investigate. By all appearances, that was not done. They did not say or specify what the crime was and what the individuals were. You need to understand the FBI does two major types of investigation. Criminal investigation, that's the majority of their work, and intelligence investigation, counter-espionage investigation, because you have foreign governments, including Russia, trying to spy on the United States and various departments, agencies of the United States, the military, its leadership, trying to recruit spies. And they've been successful. And that needs to be said. There have been spies caught in the CIA, and there have been spies caught in the FBI. Some would call them traitors. These spies gave information to our enemies and resulted in the deaths of many of our own recruited spies in, for example, the Soviet Union, but in other nations as well. I bring that up because there's a reason why we try to protect confidential information. classified information. And it could be confidential, it could be secret, it could be top secret, it could be special compartmented information, and there's even higher degrees of secrecy. You don't want that information compromised, because if it is, people can lose their lives. This is serious, folks. That's why I'm very upset that the Department of Justice under President Trump did not go after Hillary Clinton when the statute of limitations was still running. It had a 5-year statute of limitations, and it ran out 1 February of this year, 2018. If it were anybody else, they would have been prosecuted to the fullest. She was special. Special handling. So we should get more of the details tomorrow and in the coming days and weeks. It's going to be eye-opening. It should be eye-opening, because the fix was in, and you had dirty cops, you had dirty prosecutors, you had corrupt government officials at the highest level. They were compromising national security, and then they turn around and use the intelligence community, primarily the NSA, the National Security, and the FBI, to spy on American citizens, including Donald Trump and the people in his campaign. Now, why would you ask, would someone do such a stupid thing? And it is stupid. It's incompetent and stupid. Why? I ask myself, why? What were they concerned about? Well, after they got Hillary Clinton off the hook, and Hillary Clinton got the nomination, they thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the first woman president of the United States. So they thought they could get away with what they were doing. It wasn't an abuse of power. It was arrogant. No Democrat, and many Republicans, did not think Donald Trump had a chance. I and some others, I never thought that. I was proven right. I always thought the election would be very, very close. And Donald Trump had an uphill battle to get 270 electoral votes. He got 306. 304 finally cast their ballots for him. That's why he's president of the United States. But what you got to understand, during 2016, President Obama and the people in his administration, the people in the bureaucracy, they're calling it the swamp. They're bureaucrats, folks. They used to be called civil servants, not criminals, though. They thought Hillary was going to win, and this could be swept under the rug. Nothing would come out. You never would hear anything. You certainly wouldn't get an inspector general report. They would kill that. You know, what's forgotten is, because of Congress sending a criminal referral to the FBI, what was happening? The various intelligence agencies, and there's 16, were complaining to the IG of the intelligence community with what Hillary Clinton was doing. It was dangerous, folks. It was reckless. It could, and most likely did, get people killed. Think about that. This is serious, yet it became very partisan. There are Democrats today that can't and don't want to talk about this because their hero or heroine was going to be elected president, and she wasn't. Now, I have been calling for the firing of Mueller and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein for over 6 months, actually towards the end of last year. Now, why? Department of Justice did not follow its own guidelines. You see, in this country, you investigate crimes. You don't investigate people and then try to find crimes. But that's what they were doing, because they didn't have it's abundantly clear, they didn't have a criminal investigation. They had an intelligence investigation. This was the attempt by the establishment, Democrat and Republican, to try to find anything at all that could be used to impeach President Trump. They were trying to change the results of an election. And they did it. They spied on Trump by committing crimes themselves. The people that were truly conspiring with the Russians or colluding with the Russians was the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party, when they purchased opposition research, first from Fusion GPS. So in her, in turn, hired Christopher Steele, a former agent of MI6, British intelligence. And he bought gossip, rumors, dirt, leverage from who? Russian government and former government people that he knew in Russia. He has since, in court, said, I don't give any credibility to this. You couldn't verify it. This was third and fourth hand information. And this was the basis of a FISA warrant justification to spy on American citizen? How dare they? That's what was going on Ladies and gentlemen, this is embarrassing and it's criminal. And it's not enough that people have resigned and retired. They have broken the law and should be prosecuted to the fullest. And who was in the center of this? Who appointed Mueller and didn't follow Department of Justice guidelines? The deputy director, the number two guy. I say that because they won't release the authorization. You see, that turns loose someone that supposedly needs to be controlled by the deputy director to apply to the Department of Justice. But he was given carte blanche. He made the scope of the investigation too large. That deputy doesn't have the constitutional authority to do this. The whole basis of the Mueller investigation, ladies and gentlemen, is unconstitutional. It should have been shut down months ago. And that's why the House Oversight Committees, the Intelligence Committee, has been asking what started this investigation. Not so much the time, although the time is important, but what started it? You don't just willy-nilly start an investigation. It appears that there was a plot by a number of departments of the federal government to investigate Trump. And they were using this nonsense, this so-called Christopher Steele dossier, to go forward to a court, a secret court, deliberately secret. I'm not against having a secret court because it was set up to surveil foreign agents trying to get information on many of our secrets, engaging in espionage. So you don't tell them that you're surveilling them, intercepting their phone calls, for example. But what they did, they went after an American citizen, Carter Page. Carter Page has done nothing wrong, period. He was just an avenue, a person they were using to try to learn what the Trump campaign was doing. In other words, what was going on, they politicized the intelligence community by trying to spy on Donald Trump both before the election and after the election. The Obama administration went way over the line, and many of these people need to be brought to justice and prosecuted. Because if you don't, it's going to be done again and again. They need to be an example of what you don't do, and the only way you can make them examples is prosecute them. It's not enough to let them resign or retire, because not necessarily them, but then it could be Democrats and Republicans come into office. Well, they got away with it. Let's try it. And ladies and gentlemen, up to now, all of them have gotten away with it. That's why I'm calling and have been calling for a special counsel. My patience is at an end, though, because I know Congress, both the Senate and the representatives, the House Speaker, and President Trump are tired about dragging their feet and not being responsive in a timely manner, in a comprehensive manner, and providing the documents, not just a verbal presentation. And I'm always suspicious of that. Because memories of meetings, talk to six, if six people were in the meeting, all six will have a different recollection of that meeting. But what's clear, the pattern here is one of delay, delay, delay in providing the documents, redacting heavily, blacking out the documents, when Congress has a responsibility to the people to oversight the various departments, including the Department of Justice and the FBI. Now, something that I need to emphasize, because in Washington, they tend to be, let us say, not connected to the people. The American people have lost confidence. Many of these bureaucrats don't care. I know that. I don't trust the Department of Justice anymore or the FBI. And many Americans feel the same way. I wouldn't cooperate with them. I wouldn't have said that several years ago. But when departments are corrupted, and that's exactly what's happened here. And people in those departments have committed crimes. And the same department will not go after these people to protect supposedly the reputation of the FBI and the Department of Justice. You've lost sight, and you're betraying your oath of office. The American people deserve a lot better, and this mess, this corrupt criminal mess, needs to be cleaned up, and that is going to require someone from outside both the Department of Justice and the FBI. That's why you need a special counsel. It should be rarely used, but if any situation calls for it, it's now. And we still have this week delay, delay, delay. I would fire the deputy, get a new one. There are plenty of lawyers, even career attorneys that have worked for the Department of Justice. It's not like we have an indispensable person here. And as much as I respect, admire Attorney General Sessions, and I understand he's defending his deputy and the department, he has to understand the time for a special counsel is now. You've had letters by senators, representatives calling for it. Please do it, Attorney General Sessions. Restore the confidence of the American people in your department and the department's reporting to it, including the FBI. And I think you need a new deputy because he is conflicted. And he did sign that FISA warrant. He's a witness to what was going on. He was involved in it. Now I'm going to move on to a second story. And I'm sort of, this is more a pay attention, folks, because when Congress is in session, watch your wallet, but they can do things that the American people don't want. I have been covering various immigration stories for years. And yes, Congress, the House, it looks like will draft a bill. And actually, there are two bills. The one that I think has the best chance of becoming law is the so-called Goodlatte legislation or Goodlatte bill on immigration. Congress has been trying to do this in the Senate and the House, and they failed. Why? The American people, the majority of the American people, not everybody, but the majority of the American people believe in immigration. They support legal immigration, as do I. The only debate is how many per year, and it has varied over time. But if you talk to American people or poll them, they will tell you why they each have different numbers or different preferences. No one is calling for 1 million or 2 million or 3 million per year. Today, it's a little bit over 1 million legal immigrants come into the country. They get a green card, permanent legal residence. Eventually, they get citizenship over time. They have certain requirements to meet, have to be employed. But that's the first step, to get in the country and get your permanent legal residence, so-called green card. Now, there are laws being proposed, haven't been passed. I'm not talking so much on legal immigration. There needs to be some changes to it. I'm all for what President Trump is for and senators are for, Republican senators. I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but I want the number revised down from a million down to in a range of 300,000 to 500,000. That's my opinion. Talk to other Americans. Some want zero. We need to shut it down until we get control of immigration. That's not where I'm at. There are very few Americans that want 1 million, and the only ones that want 2 million or 3 million are the bought and paid politicians of the Democratic Party, unfortunately also of the Republican Party. Whether they pass the bill under this president that would increase it to that, I don't think it's going to happen because we're trying to reduce it. There are things that could be changed in legal immigration. One, change it to a merit-based system. Number two, limit the number, reduce the number down. Several hundred, if you talk to most people, they think it's several hundred thousand, not knowing it's 1 million, 1 million 1, actually. But the broad consensus is the American people support legal immigration. The only argument as to who is what's the basis, how do you select who gets in, what's the criteria or the requirements. And most nations, such as Australia, Canada, have a merit-based system, and I support that. Several hundred million people that would like to become American citizens. But they know they'll never, either don't have the money or for whatever reason, don't have a chance. They would wait for many, many years. Even to get in line means a long wait. Our system of immigration, legal immigration, is broken. I'm emphasizing this because usually I focus in on, as did Donald Trump, on illegal. They call it illegal immigration. I call it the illegal alien invasion of the United States. And that is the technical term. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but it's the people that are here illegally. In other words, they did not go through. through the legal process to become citizens, in other words, they broke into the country or they overstayed their visa, are illegal aliens. Usually they don't present their papers for inspection at an inspection point. And there are two primary ways they get here. One is crossing over the United States-Mexican border, primarily, or coming here legally on a visa, passport and visa, then overstaying their visa and not going home. And if you don't go home by the specified date, especially if you stay here over a year beyond that, you're not supposed to come back for 10 years just to visit. I emphasize that because not enough attention. We tend to focus on the U.S.-Mexican border. And the majority, I'm talking 50, 60%, maybe even 70%, no one knows the exact number. That's the way they get into the country. But at least 30, 40%, maybe as much as 50, are coming here legally, flying into our international airport like Dallas-Fort Worth. Some are going to school. Some are doing business here. Some are tourists. And they overstay the visa. Why? They like it here. So there's a lot in the immigration area that needs to be reformed and fixed. I'll be the first one to say that. But the reason President Trump got elected is what the American people are really upset about is the illegal alien invasion that's occurred under both Democrat and Republicans presidents, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and it's still happening under Trump, although he's not happy about it. The American people, first and foremost, want immigration law enforced. That's what they're asking. This is not a radical demand. The majority of the American people, American citizens, born and raised, want the laws of the land, in particular, immigration laws enforced. And if you're here illegally, first time you've committed what? A misdemeanor. The second time you're caught, apprehended, it's a felony. What you need to understand that for every apprehension, a minimum of three, the average is probably five or six, get here, get into the country. For many years, the average was around a million, and I'm talking the last 20 or 30 years. Sometimes a lot higher, the highest was 1.6 million, but they were bouncing around that million line average. But under the Obama administration, yes, and under the Trump administration, the apprehensions have gone down. Under Obama, it was due to policy. They didn't want the apprehensions, but they got them. The U.S. Border Patrol would apprehend people. Most of them were voluntarily returned to their country of origin, and most are from Mexico or Central America. About over 80%, it's usually Mexico. Then you have Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, also the Caribbean and South America. But most are coming across the U.S.-Mexican border. The category, they call them other than Mexicans. But they're coming from around the world. That's how they're getting in. The American people want the invasion stopped. And that, under the Constitution, is the responsibility of the federal government. And because of not vigorous enforcement of the immigration laws, we have today anywhere from 30 million to 60 million. No one knows the number. It's referred to trying to count the uncountable. I'll tell you what it isn't. It isn't 10 or 11 or 12 million that you hear on the news. That is what the government would like you to believe it is. And that number we've had for over 10 years. So the second thing that the American people want is first stop the invasion. Second is to roll back the invasion. Now, to accomplish these two things, you first need to secure the border and make sure people that fly in here leave. Donald Trump got elected president because he made clear to the American people, he made this his primary issue, he wanted all the illegals that are here, illegal aliens that are here, to be deported. He said that unambiguously. Now, he's been waffling a little bit, especially regard the Dreamers. But the people that supported him and made him president, and I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton either. My concern with Donald Trump, I didn't trust him, in particular in the immigration area. I'm waiting for that wall to be built. Not one single mile of that wall has been built. And the reason is, your elected representatives in the House and the Senate have not given him the money. It takes, the estimates are, at least $25 billion to maybe even $30 billion to build an impenetrable barrier. Now, some call it a wall. Trump called it a wall. Some call it a fence. I like barrier. You need flexibility. But you need one that truly stops the surge, and we're in a process of a surge of illegal aliens. The invasion continues. It goes on every single day. President Trump is upset about that. He should be upset. But the American people are first upset with Congress by not giving them the funds, because illegal immigration or the illegal alien invasion is a national security issue. It's a crime issue. It's a drug issue. But first and foremost, it's a job issue. The American people are tired of Democrats and Republicans more concerned about illegal aliens than American citizens. The safety, the security, the prosperity, the jobs of American people. They're upset. In both Democrat and Republican presidency, they've tried to give amnesty, citizenship, a pathway to citizenship, a pathway to legal status. They can't seem to get it through their thick head that the American people don't want this. They don't want to reward criminal behavior, and that's exactly what the Democratic Party wants. They want open borders, and they want all the illegal aliens that are here, whether it's 10 million, 30 million, or 60 million, to have citizenship. Now, to dress it up, a pathway to citizenship. And some Republicans, a pathway to legal status. You don't reward criminals, and that's what we're talking about. They commit many crimes. Trump likes to emphasize criminal illegal aliens. He's talking about the hardcore felons. I'm not talking about them. Yeah, you should get them out of the country. But all the 30 to 60 million illegal aliens have committed multiple felonies and misdemeanors because they're living and working here, and they don't have the legal status still. And many countries are rather rough on illegal aliens. Mexico is a very good example of that. The American people are tired of being double-crossed, not listened to by our own representatives in the House and the Senate. They don't want amnesty, they don't want citizenship, they don't want legal status, they don't want any pathways to citizenship or pathways to legal status. What they want, and I'm saying this as clear as a bell, is the enforcement of immigration laws on the books. Can you please do that? Why? We're concerned about jobs for our own citizens. We're concerned about drug cartels smuggling into this country and setting up distribution networks consisting largely of illegal aliens. And yes, they're terrorists getting in this country across the U.S.-Mexican border and flying in. It's a job issue or an employment issue, crime, a drug, and a national security issue. And now it looks like one more time the Republicans are going to try for a bill. And I'm highlighting this because if they try to give citizenship or legal status to any of these illegal aliens, any Democrat that votes for it, any Republican that votes for any bill that gives citizenship or amnesty, should be voted out of office. You're not listening to the people that vote for you. In poll after poll, the overwhelming majority of the American people, I'm talking 70-80%, want the illegal invasion of this country stopped. And to do that, you have to enforce the law both at the border and entry points, but also deport all the illegal aliens. It'll take 10 years or more. It didn't happen overnight. This situation, it has developed over at least 20 years. Some would say it started in 1986. Remember, what happened in 1986? Oh, we had immigration reform. And we gave amnesty. Ronald Reagan, together with a bipartisan law, was passed that gave amnesty. Initially, the number was not more than a million. Nearly 2.7 million got amnesty. But this was going to be the last time, folks, the last time that we would be debating and discussing immigration. Because why? We were going to control the borders. It would never happen again. What didn't happen? They didn't secure the borders. And now, 30 years later, we're talking about it again. And we've been talking about it for the last 20 years plus. What's going on here? I always say, follow the money, who benefits? the Democratic Party are trying to replace their voter base. Because the Democrats have noticed, and so have some astute Republicans have noticed, that the American citizens are tired of both political parties, and they're leaving the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. It's no accident that the long-range trend, the political affiliation of the American people, is not Democrat or Republican. The number one is independents. It's been varying from roughly 40% to about 46-47%. And mark my words, once more than 50% of the American people are independents, you're going to have a new political party, whatever its name. And it will replace one, if not both, of the existing parties. Why? Because you're not listening to the American people, what they're concerned about. They're concerned about jobs, not only for themselves, but their children and their grandchildren. And they're tired of politicians more concerned about illegal aliens than American citizens. How dare they? American workers. The Democratic Party has betrayed its historical base of American workers by being for open borders. And the reason why is simple. It's not hard to understand. They estimate that at least two out of three, if not three out of four, of all these illegal aliens, if they got citizenship, would vote Democrat. And if that ever happened, and they're trying again, they're trying right now, if that ever happens, that they get citizenship, amnesty, or a pathway, you can kiss this country goodbye. What they want is single-party rule. That's what they're about. They'll never compromise. And sad to say, Republicans, many of them go along with it. Why? They understand this, but they're bought and paid for, including House Speaker Ryan. That's what's going on, because the people that own this country, the people that want cheap, compliant labor, the employers, it's not only in the government, it's also in business, want cheap labor. So they make sure that politicians of both parties get campaign contributions to vote for higher legal immigration instead of 1 million to 2 million to 3 million. And who do you think is going to get year by year citizenship? The illegals that are here. This is dangerous, folks. Why? When your elected representatives are ignoring, not all of them, but the majority of them, are ignoring the concerns, the will of the American people. And this is the leadership of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. That is the precondition for rebellion or a revolution. You don't consistently ignore what is on the minds, the concerns of the American people, and not pay a price. And yes, politicians are being defeated regularly. But we have some very stubborn people, especially the Democrats. They think this is their way to stay in power for decades. If they can get citizenship for all the illegal aliens, they win. And they're trying to get enough Republicans to go along with them to pass a bill that would accomplish this. The only thing that could stop it is a veto by President Trump. I'm highlighting this because, ladies and gentlemen, they keep on trying and trying. The Democrats are not giving up on this. They tried under Clinton. They tried under George Bush, Barack Obama. They knew they didn't have the votes. They needed enough Republicans to go along with them. Now that the Republican Party has control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, you think that the borders would be secure and the funding would be made available to secure the borders. Is that happening? No. Oh, yeah, they got a little over $1 billion to do maintenance on the existing fence, but not one single mile, not a single mile of new wall has been built to keep out the current surge of illegal aliens. It's going to take some time, a year or two, to build an impenetrable barrier. But you need money to do this. And there's going to be some legal battles in the courts. But President Trump has to deliver on his promise, or he's not going to get reelected. And who's making sure that he doesn't get a single penny to build the wall? Yes, the Democratic Party, but also the leadership of the Republican Party. That's what President Trump is against. And anyone that votes for a bill that gives citizenship, amnesty, or legal status to illegal aliens, I won't vote for, whether it's Democrat, Republican, or any other party. I'm not going to vote for two political parties that are ignoring the will, the majority will of the American people, and they're, in essence, been corrupted. They've been bought and paid for, and they've sold you out. They've betrayed their oath of office. They betrayed you. You shouldn't trust him, and you shouldn't vote for him again and again and again. If you keep doing that, nothing is going to change. And eventually, they'll be successful. They might be successful right now. I hope not. And that's why I'm alerting you, because it looks like they will try to pass a bill next week. The Republicans, right now in the House where it stands, there's going to be two bills sent to the House floor, and a vote will be taken. The Democrats are trying to get two other bills, actually four in total. That's, I don't think, is going to happen. You need to be paying attention. And if they do what I expect they're do, you need to start making phone calls, because this happens rather quick. And remember, that's just the House. This is the Senate. I don't think the Senate, because it's very narrowly controlled, they're not going to pass anything. And hopefully Donald Trump, if they did pass anything, would veto it. But I'm not overconfident that he would. He should. I know he's upset that they haven't given him the money for the wall. But he needs to go to his base, because if he doesn't alert his base what Congress is doing, they'll double-cross him. They'll stab him in the back. The Democrats certainly will, and many in the Republican leadership will. They didn't think Donald Trump was going to get elected. And many of them, especially in the establishment, although they'll smile, pat him on the back, they'll stab him at the first chance they get. Mark my words. So it's up to the American people to stand up, be counted, hopefully start a new party to compete with the lock that the Democrat and Republican parties have. But keep in mind, if all the illegal aliens are given citizenship, the Democrats will have a majority for decades. And that is their strategy. They're not going to compromise. They're in it for the long haul. That's why they're for open borders, and that's why they want to make sure that all the illegal aliens get citizenship. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.